It's good to see each and every one out, and we're happy to be here. We hope that you're happy to be here. We hope our study will be profitable as we open the Word of the Lord. And I was just thinking, Savannah came in with an iPad, and you usually say, well, get your Bibles out. I guess I need to say, get your Bibles out, or your tablet, iPad, Kindle Fire, whatever, and follow along if you're a high-tech kind of person. But anyway, several have been using them. They are kind of handy and nifty, but and you can have access to various versions there pretty readily in some of the high-tech stuff. But anyway, we're happy to be here, and we're happy for your presence. Hope that you'll follow along. Our study here this evening is about Old Testament priests, and these are just some artist's renditions of a priest and the high priest and some of their garments, etc. But there's got to be an interesting parallel, because when you talk about the Old Testament priests and some of the work and some of the things that surround them, there's an interesting parallel, I think, you'll see as we talk about New Testament priests. All right, first off, we're going to talk about Old Testament priests. First thing we need to see is that they are called by God. In the book of Hebrews, there in chapter 5 and verse 4, it says, "And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but that he that is called of God, as was Aaron." So Aaron, the first priest, the brother of Moses, and then his descendants of the tribe of Levi, were called of God to serve as priests. They did not take this function upon themselves. In the book of Exodus, chapter 28 and verse 1, it says, "And take unto thee Aaron thy brother and his sons with him, from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest office, even Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, Aaron's sons." And so we learn that the priests were called of God to this office. They just didn't just hop up and say, "Well, I think I'll be the priest. I'll volunteer for the task." No, they were called of God. And then we learn that the priests had special garments that they were to wear. There in the 28th chapter, let's continue on there in verse 2. "And thou shalt take holy garments for Aaron, thy brother, for glory and for beauty. Thou shalt speak unto all that are wise-hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, and that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And these are the garments which they shall make, a breastplate, and an ephod, and a robe, and a broidered coat, and a mitre, and a girdle. And they shall make holy garments for Aaron thy brother and for his sons, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office." And so there were special garments that they were to wear, and things associated in the religious dress that they had, the garments that they had. And then there's something else when we study about the Old Testament priests, that they were consecrated. That is, they were hallowed. They were dedicated to the Lord. As we see there in Exodus chapter 28 there in verse 3, "And thou shalt speak unto all that are wise-hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him." That is, to be dedicated, to be set aside, to be hallowed. In chapter 29, two or three verses talks about this idea of consecration. Notice there in verse 1, "And this is the thing that thou shalt do unto him, to hallow them, to minister unto me in the priest's office. Take one young bullock and two rams without blemish." Dropping on down there in verse 31 of chapter 29, "And thou shalt take the ram of consecration and seethe his flesh in the holy place." And then there in verse 35, "And thus thou shalt do unto Aaron to his sons according to all that I have commanded thee. 7 days shalt thou consecrate them." So, there was a dedication and dedication sacrifices that they were being hallowed. That is, set apart for divine use is the significance of consecration, or to be hallowed. They were for sacred purposes in serving as priests. We also learn that they were to be without blemish. Notice there in Leviticus, the 21st chapter there, Leviticus chapter 21, beginning in verse 16, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron, saying, Whosoever be of thy seed in their generation that hath any blemish, let him not approach to offer the bread of his God. For whatsoever man he be that hath a blemish, he shall not approach, a blind man, or a lame, or he that hath a flat nose," probably the idea of what we call hair lip, "or anything superfluous, or a man that is broken footed or broken handed, or crooked back, or a dwarf, or he that hath a blemish in his eyes, or be scurvy, or scabbed, or has the stones broken. No man that hath a blemish of the seed of Aaron, the priest, shall come nigh to offer the offerings of the Lord made by fire. He hath a blemish. He shall not come nigh to offer the bread of his God." Oh, that's kind of interesting point about the priests. If they had some physical defects, they were not permitted. And then we learn something else about the Old Testament priests, that they were to offer gifts and sacrifices. Notice there in the book of Hebrews, chapter 5, verse 1, "For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sin." And then in Hebrews, the 8th chapter there in verse 3, it says, "For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices, whereof necessity that this man has somewhat also to offer." So we learn that the Old Testament priests, they offered gifts. And they offered animal sacrifices and other sacrifices to the Lord. And then we learn that the Old Testament priests, that they were to serve. They were to minister. They were to do for the other Israelites. Look back at chapter 5 and verse 1 again. "For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men." See, they're ordained for men, offering these sacrifices. Sometimes they'd be for themselves, but sometimes it would be for other folks in serving others. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 11, "And every priest standeth daily ministering." The word minister or ministering is the idea of service. Daily they were serving and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sin. And then there in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul says in verse 13, "Do you not know that they which minister about the holy things live of the things of the temple, and they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar?" So they were busy ministering, they were busy serving, they were offering these sacrifices, sometimes for themselves, sometimes for others. But that was their work as priests under the Old Testament. One of the jobs that they had was that they were to light these lamps in the tabernacle there in the holy place, and they were to keep it burning. So that was a continual job there. Notice there in Exodus chapter 27, Exodus chapter 27, 20, 21, "And thou shalt command the children of Israel that they may bring the pure olive oil," or oil of olive, "beaten for the light to cause the lamp to burn always in the tabernacle of the congregation without the veil, which is before the testimony. Aaron and his sons shall order it from the evening to the morning before the Lord. And it shall be a statue forever unto their generation on the behalf of the children of Israel." So there was a function of the Old Testament priests, the lighting of those lamps and keeping them burning and the supply of oil. Some of those lamps, they'll burn for quite a bit. One time I was over at Mammoth Cave, and they had one of these little oil lamps where they maybe have animal fat or different oils. And I asked the fellow, how long would one of these things burn? He said, well, maybe 7-8 hours. Just sort of depends. If you get it turned too high, it burns out quicker. But if you kind of keep it just at a steady, low flame, it burns for several hours. But that was a job that they had. And we learn that the Old Testament priests were to be compassionate. Back in Hebrews chapter 5 once again, now verse 2, it says, "Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way? For that he himself is also compassed about with infirmities.
So all the priests were to be compassionate, that is to relate to the problems of their fellow Israelites, because even he himself was imperfect and had problems. And then something else that they were to do, they were to teach the law.
Over in the book of Leviticus there, in the 10th chapter, in Leviticus chapter 10, notice there in verses 9 through 11, let me back up verse 8. And the Lord spake unto Aaron, saying, Do not drink wine nor strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee, when thou go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest you die. And it shall be a statute forever throughout your generation. And that you may put a difference between holy and unholy, between unclean and clean. And that you may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which the Lord has spoken unto them by the hand of Moses. So they were involved in the teaching of the law.
So we see all these activities and points about the Old Testament priests. Now we come to the New Testament priests. And who are the New Testament priests? Well, that's pretty easy to explain. It's the Christians. All the people of God serve as priests in New Testament order. Notice there in the book of 1 Peter chapter 2. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5, Peter says, Ye also as lively or living stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And then drop on down to verse 9 as Peter addresses the Christians in general. He says, But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness in His marvelous light. So we're a holy priesthood. Every Christian, everybody who obeys the gospel, becomes a priest unto God. And then notice there in Revelation chapter 1. In Revelation chapter 1, there in the second half of verse 5, it says, Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. He's made us priests in the New Testament order. So every Christian is a priest. Now let's notice the parallels. We've talked about all these various things about the Old Testament priests. Well, let's notice it's going to be parallel to us in many ways. Alright, first off, we're called by God. New Testament priests are called by God. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1 there, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and down there in verse 9, Paul says, God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. So how do people become New Testament priests? Well, we're called of God to become priests in this holy priesthood. And how does God call us? Well, we know the fact that God calls us because that's what the text says. But the question is, how does God call us? Well, that's explained for us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and in verse 14. He says, Whereunto he called you, he who? God. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're all called of God. How does God call us? By the gospel. So the gospel message, God calls us to become one of his New Testament priests in Christ Jesus. Well, we also have garments that we're expected to wear. Not fleshly garments, not our physical garments per se that we speak of, but there are some spiritual garments that we're called upon. There in the book of Revelation chapter 19. In Revelation chapter 19, in verses 7 and 8, it says, Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is what? The righteousness of the saints. Just as the Old Testament priest had some garments to wear, well, we have some spiritual garments. It's the garments of righteousness, of justice, of what we ought to be in Christ Jesus. The garments of righteousness, of just living, living soberly, righteously, godly, those types of things, that's the garments of righteousness that we're to wear. Just as the Old Testament priests were consecrated, hallowed, well, we're to be consecrated, hallowed, set apart for divine use. Listen to what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 14 through 16. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of life, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. So we're to be consecrated, we're to be set apart, we're to be dedicated for God's service. And then we're to be without blemish. Notice there in the book of Ephesians chapter 5. In Ephesians chapter 5, there in verses 25 through 27, Paul says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. He's not talking about being without blemish physically. That's neither here nor there. If we're lame or if we're blind or we have other physical problems, that's not an issue. In the New Testament, it was for the Old Testament priests. They were to be physically without blemish. But for us, he wants us to be spiritually without blemish, as we see there from Ephesians chapter 5. Just as the Old Testament priest offered gifts and sacrifices, well, we're to offer some sacrifices unto the Lord. Look there in Hebrews chapter 13, in verse 15 and 16, it says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. So God wants us to offer up spiritual sacrifices. And as we saw there in the book of 1 Peter chapter 2, look at that again in verse 5. He says, for you are living stones and are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable unto God. And so God wants us to offer spiritual sacrifices, offer those spiritual gifts in our worship unto him. You see, there's so many parallels. Well, just as the Old Testament priests were serving, were ministering, well, even so, we're to serve and to minister. Listen to what Paul says there in the book of Galatians, chapter 5. In Galatians, chapter 5, in verses 13 and 14. For, brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Well, we've been called to serve. We've been called to minister. There in Galatians 6 and verse 10, as we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially to them who are of the household of faith. We're to be busy serving. And as you see there in Ephesians chapter 4, those ministering offices, the teaching offices of verse 11, is to perfect the saints, verse 12, and therefore move unto the work of ministry. When saints mature, then saints are to become servants, ministers, serving other folks, serving our brethren, serving people in the world as instruments of the Lord. New Testament priests are to light lamps. not physical lamps, but our spiritual lamps. That is to be an influence for good. In the book of Matthew, chapter 5, there in verses 14 through 16, Jesus says, "You are the light of the world. The city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." So we're to be a spiritual beacon of light. And we're to keep the lights burning. In the book of Philippians, chapter 2, 15 and 16, "That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. And I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that have not run in vain, neither have labored in vain." So we're to be the lamps. We're to let our light so shine by our good works, by our dedication to the Lord. We let our lights shine. New Testament priests are to be compassionate. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 7, it says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." In Matthew the 18th chapter, Jesus talks about forgiveness. When he says there in verse 32 and 33 in that parable, "Then his Lord, after that, had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee?" And everyone, yeah. I mean, if God can forgive us, surely we can show mercy and be forgiving to others. We look at the Old Testament priests, and then we look at the New Testament priests, we see all these parallels. And the last one, just as the Old Testament priests were to teach the law, we as the New Testament priests were to teach the law of Jesus Christ. In the book of 1 Timothy there in chapter 2, 1 Timothy chapter 2, I think it's 2 Timothy chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2, yeah, 2 Timothy 2, 2, "And the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men." And that word "men" doesn't mean males, but it means human beings. Timothy, what I've committed to you, you in turn then commit it to faithful human beings who shall be able to teach others also. Just as you've taught, now you turn around and you teach others also. In the book of Acts, chapter 8 and verse 4, in Acts 8 and in verse 4, it says, "Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word." And so that would involve both men and women alike, that we're involved in opening our mouths and teaching the law, speaking about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Old Testament priest, New Testament priest, and we make up the New Testament priest under the new order of things, under the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what is the benefit of being a New Testament priest? Well, it means that you're a child of God. It means you're on the road to heaven. If you're serious about Christianity, you're going to have to be serious about being a priest of God. Being a one who is called by God, having the garments of righteousness, dedicated, consecrated, without blemish, offering gifts and sacrifices, serving and ministering, letting our light shine before men, being compassionate, and teaching the gospel message. Many parallels between the Old Testament priests and for us who make up the New Testament priesthood under Christ Jesus. Well, we extend the invitation with this question and this point and this observation. You can be a priest also. It's a priesthood that God sends forth the call through the gospel, that you can enjoy these rich spiritual blessings that come in Christ Jesus. Upon hearing the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, will you believe that Jesus is the Christ, He is the Son of God, that He is the Savior? If you will believe that message with all your heart, And you be willing to repent, you be willing to make a turnaround, God commands all men everywhere to repent. Chapter 17 and verse 30. If you be willing to obey His command to confess Him as Lord. As Paul said in Romans 10, 9 and 10, that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in your heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And then the final step, to become a New Testament priest, to become a child of God, to have sins forgiven, to be baptized. And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And when we obey these steps, the Lord will add us to His church, He'll add us to this royal priesthood, and be busy about what New Testament priests are to be busy about. Being faithful unto death, serving and ministering as New Testament priests in the royal priesthood. But if we do err as a child of God, we have blemishes in our life through sin and wrongdoing and neglect and whatever it might be, come back. Once again, consecrate yourself in dedication to the Lord through repentance and prayer. We're going to sing this song of encouragement. If there's one here tonight that wants to be a part of the royal priesthood, let us know what we can do to help. Why together as we stand and as we sing.